continuing with our reading, and we're at Numbers chapter 4. And those that would care to stand for as long as you can as we read it, it's kind of a lengthy one. So, Numbers chapter 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Take a census of the descendants of Kohath from among the sons of Levi by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is the work of the descendants of Kohath in the tent of meeting concerning the most holy things. When the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. And they shall lay a covering of porpoise skin on it, and shall spread over it a cloth of pure blue, and shall insert its poles. Over the table of the bread of presence they shall also spread a cloth of blue, and put on it the dishes and the pans and the sacrificial bowls and the jars for the libation, and the continual bread shall be on it. And they shall spread over them a cloth of scarlet material, and cover the same with a covering of porpoise skin, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand for the light, along with the lamps and its snuffers and its trays and all its oil vessels by which they serve it. And they shall put it and all its utensils in a covering of porpoise skin, and shall put it on the carrying bars. And over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of porpoise skin, and shall insert its poles. And they shall take all the utensils of service with which they serve in the sanctuary, and put them in a blue cloth, and cover them with a covering of porpoise skin, and put them on the carrying bars. Then they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall also put on it all its utensils by which they serve in connection with it, the fire pans, the forks and shovels and the basins, all the utensils of the altar. And they shall spread a cover of porpoise skin over it and insert its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is to set out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they may not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things in the tent of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. And the responsibility of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light and the fragrant incense and the continual grain offering and the anointing oil. The responsibility of all the tabernacle and of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites be cut off from among the Levites, but do this to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the holy objects. Aaron and his son shall go in and assign each of them to his work and to his load, but they shall not go in to see the holy objects, even for a moment, lest they die." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take a census of the sons of Gershon also, by their fathers' households, by their families, from 30 years and upward to 50 years old. You shall number them, all who enter to perform the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, in serving and in carrying. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle, and the tent of meeting with its covering, and the covering of the porpoise skin that is on top of it, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the gate of the court, which is around the tabernacle, and the altar, and their cords, and all the equipment for their service, and all that is to be done they shall perform. All the service of the sons of the Gershonites, and all their loads, and in all their work, shall be performed at the command of Aaron and his sons. And you shall assign to them as a duty all their loads. This is the service of the families of the sons of the Gershonites in the tent of meeting, and their duty shall be under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. As for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, you shall number them. Everyone who enters the service to do the work of the tent of meeting. Now this is the duty of their loads, for all their service in the tent of meeting, the boards of the tabernacle, and its bars, and its pillars, and its sockets, and the pillars around the court, and their sockets, and their pegs, and their cords, with all their equipment, and all their service. And you shall assign each man by the name, the items he is to carry. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tent of meeting, under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. So Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their father's household, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tent of meeting. And their numbered men by their families were 2,750. These are the numbered men of the Kohathite families, everyone who was serving in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. And the numbered men of the sons of Gershon by their families and by their father's households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tent of meeting. And their numbered men by their families, by their father's households, were 2,630. These are the numbered men of the families of the sons of Gershon, everyone who was serving in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord. And the numbered men of the families of the sons of Merari by their families, by their father's households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tent of meeting. And their numbered men by their families were 3,200. These are the numbered men of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. All the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and by their father's households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who could enter to do the work of service and the work of carrying in the tent of meeting, and their numbered men were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord through Moses, they were numbered, everyone by his serving or carrying. Thus these were his numbered men, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. As we consider this morning's reading, it would be appropriate to share together in the wonderful manner in which the Holy Spirit brings to the forefront the precision and the magnificence of God's design and operation. Once more, we get this reality expressed by Dr. Ronald B. Allen in his writing on the Book of Numbers, contained in the Expositor's Bible Commentary. I share the following quote from his introductory remarks on the fourth chapter of this Book of Numbers. Quote, "The sense of order and organization already observed in this book comes to its finest point in this chapter. Again, we observe that the standard pattern in Hebrew prose is a movement from the general to the specific, from the broad to the particular. Chapters 1 through 4 follow this concept nicely. Chapter 1 presents the leaders and the numbers of the soldiers conscripted from each tribe. Chapter 2 shows how each of the tribes is related to groupings surrounding the tent of meeting. Chapter 3 gives the census of the Levite males from 1 month and older and a listing of the Levites by their families. And chapter 4 presents the census of the Levites from 30 to 50 years of age and the work each family was to have. The chapters have moved from the nation as a whole to the particular families of the one tribe that has the responsibility to maintain the symbols of Israel's worship of the Lord. Each chapter gets more specific, more narrow in focus, with the central emphasis on the worship of the Lord at the tent of meeting." End quote. The focal point is always the worship of the Lord. From the manner in which the nation was arrayed itself around the tent of meeting, through the way the Levites were made buffers, both in their encampment as well as in their being the redemption of the nation, as we saw last week. The Levites were the safety of the nation, down to the specific details of how to move the tent of meeting in a manner that incorporated the reverence and the majesty of performing the necessary functions wholly and precisely in the prescribed awe of the Lord God Almighty. They were the ones who made the worship of God possible for the nation in their service, from the packing and carrying of the tent of meeting up to the high priest who would directly go before God for the sake of the whole nation. The very smallest details were not too insignificant for God to manifest unto Moses, never taking for granted that the holiness and the majesty and the sovereignty of God was foremost for the entire nation to honor. This brings us to the central aspect of our reading today, with the specific tasks that each of the three chosen families within the tribe of Levi were to accomplish. The fact is that the Lord had to make every provision for the transport of the tent of meeting. It was not a permanent structure, but rather it represented the presence of God with His people, and it had to move as the nation moved, eventually to inhabit the promised land. Accordingly, the means of its transport had to be established with the precise manner that would afford the full honor that the holiness of God required. It could not be done in some haphazard manner, as if it did not matter how the tent of meeting and all the articles of worship were packed and carried. It had to be done with dignity and with reverence and with awe, because it was the dwelling place of God in the midst of the nation. It was very evident, because this was a service unto the Lord, that everything had to be done just as the Lord prescribed, or the offending party would not survive. Note what is repeated several times in this chapter. Verse 15, when the camp is to set out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they may not touch the holy objects and die. And again in verses 18 through 20, do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites be cut off from among the Levites, but do this to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy objects. Aaron and his son shall go in and assign each of them to his work and to his load, but they shall not go in to see the holy objects even for a moment, lest they die. Even though the sons of Kohath were assigned the duty of the care and the transport of the holy objects, they could not touch or see them uncovered, or they would die. They had to be extremely careful in the manner of their service and their respect for the holiness of God, lest they suffer the dire consequences of their careless disregard for those elements of worship unto the Lord. The other necessary reality of this morning's consideration is that the Lord does assign different tasks to His people. We are not all cookie cutter in design, everyone doing the exact same service like a robotic source of labor. No, we are chosen by God, and we are gifted by Him through His Holy Spirit with the various needs of all the people in view. These three families were chosen for the carrying of the tent of meeting and all its articles, for the sake of the rest of the nation, so that the tent of meeting would be properly, carefully, and reverently carried along as the tribes of Israel march forward. As well, it was the Levites who were chosen as the means of providing that necessary service of all that was required in terms of the worship of God for the sake of the rest of the nation. They were the bearers of the witness of the presence of God in the midst of the entire encampment. But each member of whatever tribe was still a member of the chosen people of God. Each was in service to the other and a necessary element of the whole body of the nation. The army was just as necessary as the religious element. The women and children with their duties were vital to the health and the development of the people as a nation. The ones who were gifted in the creative manufacture of the tent were necessary, or there would be no tent of meeting for the people. Those who were poor and had given so much of their meager possessions were just as vital as those who were rich and had given up what they had for the construction of the tent of meeting. This was because they all desired to have the witness of God in their immediate presence. This was a type of the Church of Christ in this very day. The Apostle Paul highlighted this as in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, if you would care to follow along. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Romans 12. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We are all part of the body of Christ on this earth. The Lord has graced us with different abilities and gifts and opportunities, but we are still together working and serving the needs of the whole body. That is why it is so imperative that we do not look at ourselves at either end of the spectrum of the work required for the testimony of Christ to be living and vibrant. We can neither elevate ourselves above anyone else, nor are we to think that we are of no use to the Lord and that we have nothing to offer Christ in His church. We serve as the Lord makes every provision to serve. That may be in a teaching placement. It may be in counseling. It may be in music. It may be in doing the communion service, or the care of the children's ministry, or of the ministry to the women, or to the men, or to the youth. Maybe it's a financial service, or the skills to meet the various needs of the members of the fellowship with encouragement, or transportation, or food, or work, or whatever it is the Lord requires of us. None of it is more important than any other, because it is all a vital working together for the sake of the whole body. The Apostle Paul had to deal with this in the Corinthian church, as they did not understand the plan of God in terms of meeting the needs of the whole body through the variety of gifts that he had given. they were thinking of themselves as having a greater standing with God based on the gifts that they were practicing. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 12 as we want to come to the understanding of what the Apostle Paul set before this church and before us. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 12. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. It is God who chooses to gift in accordance with His omniscience as to the immediate needs of His people. That is why we can never lord our gifts over another, and neither can we consider ourselves as useless or insignificant to the Lord. He chooses to do that which is needed for the sake of His body through those willing vessels who are obedient in service and available to do anything and everything that the Lord requires. I remember Dad encouraging us to be instantly obedient and constantly available to the Lord and to each other. Continuing with verses 18 through 30 in this 12th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, we have the following for us. 1 Corinthians 12:18 through 30. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? This is seen in the manner in which the Lord chose the specific duties for the three families of our text. The Kohathites were given the task of the holy things of the tent of meeting. However, what good would that serve if there was no tent of meeting? The Gershonites were the ones who were to carry and transport the curtains and the hangings and the screen of the tent itself. That, however, served no purpose without the labors of the sons of Merari, who would carry the pegs and the bars and the boards and the sockets with which to construct the necessary framework of the tent of meeting. None was more important than the other, because without the complete service of all, there would be no service at all. Again, hear the encouragement of the Apostle Paul, this time to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also, he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The gifts given and the service required are all for the building up of all the saints, until we all attain to the unity of faith in the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are working for each other in the course of the manner in which we serve the Lord and His church. We conclude with the admonition of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. First Peter 4, 7 through 11, wherein he encourages the entire body of believers to work together to the full and more perfect testimony of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it, and amen.